Let's take a closer look now at a very unusual turn of events that happened just yesterday in Bristol County Court. Defendants John O'Hara and Ken Ward were scheduled to face trial for using a lobster boat to block a freighter loaded with 40,000 tons of coal that was bound for the Brayton Point Power Station in Somerset, Mass. It's a charge that the climate activists do not deny. Here's O'Hara.
Ken and I both got on that boat and stood in front of this freighter because we need to stop burning coal immediately.
In court, O'Hara and Ward plan to use a rarely deployed legal strategy called the necessity defense. They would claim that the threat of global warming is so great that the two men had to act.
Now that's unusual enough. But then the bigger surprise. Bristol County District Attorney Sam Sutter dropped the most serious charges against O'Hara and Ward, and in front of a cheering crowd outside the courthouse, Sutter declared that he agreed with the protesters.
Climate change is one of the gravest crises our planet has ever faced. In my humble opinion, the political leadership on this issue has been gravely lacking.
Sam Sutter joins us now. He is the DA for Bristol County. Mr. Sutter, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, tell us clearly, Mr. O'Hara and Ward were charged with conspiracy, disturbing the peace, and other violations. Why
Actually, they were charged with disturbing the peace, conspiracy to disturb the peace. They were charged with negligent operation of a motorboat and operating a motorboat in violation of CMR 2.07.
Okay, so why did you decide to drop the major? Why really did you decide to drop the major charges and downgrade them to what basically amounted to a fine?
Well, prosecutors always have the prerogative to reduce almost all misdemeanors to civil infractions. And the more I thought about this as the case got closer to trial, the more that I was concerned that the judge, a very erudite judge, Joseph Macy, might very well decide that they would not be able to mount their necessity defense, that they would not meet the legal standards established by the Supreme Judicial Court in a leading case approximately 30 years ago for a defendant or defendants to be able to mount this defense. I thought their chances of being able to present the defense were well less than 50%.
Well, so let me ask you then, were you concerned then that if this had gone through, that future climate activists facing similar charges would not have been able to mount the necessity defense because of the precedent that this case might have set?
No, because if the district court said no, then it would be up to the next district court. District court judges only can set precedents for themselves. They can't set precedents for even the next district court judge who could view it differently. But I didn't think that this particular judge was going to let them mount the defense. And I thought that the whole saga might not go exactly the way I wanted it to go, because I am sympathetic to their position. So for them to expend all of this effort and even costs to bring expert witnesses to court and then have a judge rule, no, you're not going to be able to mount the defense. And I was going to be in the unenviable position of being sympathetic to their cause and yet having to oppose their interest in mounting the necessity defense if I decided that legally it wasn't there. Because the way that the Supreme Court has fashioned the necessity defense, it's a situation such as somebody needing to go to the hospital right away and a person having to drive over the speed limit in order to get them to the hospital right away and because their life is in danger.
Mm.
And this was going to be a situation where they could certainly mount a strong argument, but I wasn't sure that they were going to succeed.
Well, let me jump in here, if I may, Mr. Sutter, and ask you. I mean, I hear what you're saying, that you were in the unenviable position of having to prosecute a case in which you were sympathetic with the defendant's point of view. But as DA for Bristol County, you may have political sympathies with a lot of people, but aren't you also obligated to follow or prosecute the letter of the law?
Of course I am. And just because, I mean, this is an unusual case. We don't get many political cases at the Bristol County District Attorney's Office. So, but every district attorney is in a position on occasion where they have some sympathy with either the cause or the plight of a particular defendant. There's not a district attorney among us in the United States of America that wouldn't say that, and that's when district attorneys exercise their discretion. So, for example, if there's a drug addict that has been struggling with their addiction and they fall off the wagon and they come into court for possession of OxyContin, possession of heroin, that's a case where if we see a good faith effort to try to deal with the addiction, we're not going to be looking for jail time on that case. So in every single case, district attorney, assistant district attorney, it's incumbent upon district attorneys, as I like to say, to wear two hats. And one is to get a fair and tough sentence, but the larger hat is the hat to do justice.
Mm.
So here the issue for me was, what is justice in this case? This was an act of civil disobedience, and the more that I thought about it, the more I decided that justice was to reduce these charges
right.
from criminal offenses to civil infractions, to make sure that the taxpayers of the town of Somerset were reimbursed for the police overtime that was expended. That was about $2,800, that the state police get some reimbursement for their expenses, and that I use this opportunity to make known my beliefs on this issue.
Well, let me just jump in here again, if I may, and ask you, do you think that this decision might further embolden climate activists to take similar or possibly even larger actions against future coal shipments to Brayton Point?
Well, I was very careful about what I said, because I was asked that question repeatedly by reporters after the case, and what I said was, this case sets a precedent, to be sure. It sets a precedent within Bristol County solely, because that's the only area that I have authority over with respect to criminal prosecutions. And it sets a precedent on identical facts. So were this to happen again, it would set a precedent. But I would say this, having already made this statement and having already engineered this disposition of this case, I'm not sure that I would look at the next case exactly the same way, because I think the statement has been made. So I am not encouraging this to take place again. I said many times yesterday, while I agree with their position on climate change, and while I made a decision that I think was in the interest of the people of Bristol County and was a moral decision, I also disagree with the action that they took.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to make sure that that point was not lost, to agree with their position but to disagree with the action that they took because it was unlawful,
right,
was my position.
Well, finally, let me ask you, I believe yesterday as well, you said that you plan on attending an upcoming demonstration for climate action in New York City in front of the United Nations. It's being billed as what could possibly be the largest demonstration ever for climate action. What do you hope to accomplish there?
I hope to bring to the attention, I mean, I'm just a very, very small cog in a rally that I hope, remember now, I'm of the generation that marched against the war in Vietnam. So I remember the March on Washington. I think that there were, and this is back in 1969, I believe, I think there were well over 100,000 people there. So I'm not involved in the planning of this rally. I certainly have read Bill McKibben's, and I'm a great admirer of his, article in Rolling Stone a couple of times, and I would hope that there are going to be tens of thousands there. But what I'm hope to accomplish, and what I think the people that assemble are hoping to accomplish, is to do exactly what Professor McKibben talked about, to ring a very loud bell. That the political leadership of this country and other countries hear clearly.
Right. Well, Sam Sutter is the district attorney for Bristol County. He joins us today from Fall River. Mr. Sutter, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
And stay with us. There's more ahead, including how schools and governments are threatening student privacy rights in the age of big data. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.